Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 8th of February. Joining us this morning, first time solo, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, Natalie Arroyo, Humboldt County 4th District Supervisor. You made it.
Good to see you.
You made it here and you made it there.
I sure did.
Oh. Before we get into the show, I'm sure you remember and have been looking forward to the opportunity to...
I was hoping for a quip from this...
Join the club?
This text.
Yeah, you were, huh? All right. Why do we say bribe?
Why do we say bribe?
Yeah.
Great question. I'd love to hear the history.
Yeah, you don't have a clue either.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. French householders of the 13th century commonly called a piece of bread broken from a loaf a bribe. That's what was likely to be given to an itinerant holy man who asked for food. In return for the bribe, the recipient often volunteered to remember the donor in his prayers. So sometimes a person would be given a bribe for the sake of prayers rather than out of generosity. During the 16th century, the meaning of the word shifted and was used to label corrupt financial transactions. Judges and officials seem to have exacted bribes in return for light sentences. Since then, bribe has come into general use to name any illicit exchange of money for favors or help from an ordinary citizen or an official. They had it inverted, but yeah, okay.
Interesting how the meaning shifted over time.
Yeah, bread.
Let them eat bribes.
Yeah, yeah. Sourdough bribes, what?
I'm pretty into sourdough, so it might work on me.
Oh, you don't have the starter thing, do you?
Not yet, no. I just like to eat bread.
Yeah,
I don't actually bake.
That's, I think, a common weakness for a lot of us.
Sugar
and breads.
Yeah, just those carbs for me, that dense, chewy bread gets me every time.
Oh, you like the gluten stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, not a good time to be talking food. Oh, boy. So for folks who are either forgetful of, never knew, or just curious, who is Natalie?
Who is Natalie? Well,
this is a tradition for the first show.
I love it. Well, I'm one of those people that starts with my family when I answer that kind of question. I'll keep it kind of brief.
We got an hour.
I'm a Puerto Rican, born in Miami, to a military family. I continue to serve in the military tradition of my family, serving in the Coast Guard as an officer, Coast Guard Reserve, I should say. And I moved to Humboldt County in the mid-2000s. Thinking I'd just be here for a year as an AmeriCorps member, and ended up...
AmeriCorps?
Yeah.
Were you doing trails in the woods or something?
I was doing fisheries work in Petrolia. So I moved here in 2006, January 2006, and worked for the Matoll Salmon Group.
Okay, on the Matoll, I'm thinking, wait a minute, Matoll in the ocean.
I did a lot of really cold field work, hiking up creeks and waders, snorkeling the estuary, looking at fish. It was pretty fun, actually.
So kind of an outdoorsy.
Pretty outdoorsy.
Time. Yeah.
It was a very outdoorsy time.
Okay.
Yeah, and I spent the next,
Well, that time of the year, or that time of the decade, things were a little dicey in that neighborhood,
It was
too.
A little dicey at times. Yeah, I had to do a lot of creek walks and surveys where, there were some interesting things happening in the woods, let's put it that way.
You got to meet some people that you wouldn't otherwise have run into?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And some dogs that I wouldn't otherwise have run into.
Yeah, the dogs. Yeah.
But it was really beautiful, and it was so magical living there that it actually really led to me staying in Humboldt County. So as much as I don't live that super rural life now, I grew to really love it.
So you liked stomping around the woods?
I do like stomping around in the woods. That's what I do for fun. So in my spare time, my idea of a good time is to go somewhere even more rural than here. On my honeymoon, I went to the Faroe Islands, which is pretty much just sheep. It's an island in the North Atlantic with a lot of sheep.
You take shearing tools?
I didn't. It was just about hiking and photography. But I'm an outdoorsy girl.
So what got you into politics?
I bought my first home in 2013, and at the time I started paying more attention to local politics, and I'm not sure how much this will resonate with you, but that's okay. One of the council members at the time made a statement that was essentially a climate change denying statement. And I thought for a coastal city, I'd really like to see folks who are acknowledging that we at least have the highest rate of sea level rise on the West Coast, whether you think that's climate change or subsidence or both. You know, I wanted to make sure that we had folks who were listening to the science. So that was what motivated me at first.
Give up the name.
Okay, it was Chet Albin. He made a comment about climate change that was and sea level rise that I thought was just inaccurate. And I started looking into a little bit more about Eureka politics and saw that, frankly, a lot of in a lot of elections there hadn't been another candidate. Like a lot of people had either been appointed or elected without a race.
Just
and
unopposed,
I didn't want to see. I wanted people to have choices. And so I stepped up to run partly so there'd be a choice in my ward.
And then you stunned yourself and won?
I stunned myself and won. You know, I put in the work, though. I did go to a lot of doors. Each time I've run, I've talked to a lot of voters, and it's been really impactful.
That is, I said this one over the decades, that's probably the primary reason why I never would.
You don't want to knock on strangers' doors?
I don't want to see what's behind the door.
Yeah.
I mean, I through your eyes and others, I've heard too many stories.
Yeah.
And that would just twist me to the point where I couldn't. Knowing that that was reality for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the hoarders or, you know, any of the funny stuff, but just uncomfortable. You know, violating some or entering into somebody's space.
It does feel
a little different.
It does feel a little private. And frankly, you know, I spend a lot of time going knocking doors alone. And there are times when I just won't go into someone's house. They'll invite me in. And sometimes they'll cross the threshold and sometimes they won't. But I will say that in college, I was a pizza delivery driver for years. And I think that helped me get over the hump of going up to strangers' doors and you know, interacting with them for a little bit.
Standing out on the sidewalk yelling at people with a pizza is probably not the best way to develop tips.
Exactly. Yeah, I also delivered newspapers. So, yeah, I guess I got a lot of experience going to doors.
I mean,
so many people don't want them thrown anymore. It's so sad. They want you to go and hang it on their door. It's, you know, it's just not as fun.
You said so many and newspapers at the same time. I think that's changed a bit, too. KINS, News Information Time. It's 8 9.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Natalie Arroyo. Natalie, as you kind of started getting into the political arena, certainly city is different than county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, just as different boards and commissions are different than the others, also the appointed versus the other. What was the biggest shocker for you at the city level in comparison to what you've experienced or done research on at the county level? They're two different critters.
Yeah. You know, the city of Eureka deals with so many impacts that the county also has to deal with, but, you know, really takes the brunt of a lot of the public concern around housing and homelessness, around the need for services. And, you know, I think I was amazed at how much the city is responsible for and how much, you know, the city of Eureka is really on the front lines of dealing with a lot of the mental and behavioral health needs, a lot of the housing needs in our community.
Perceptually or reality?
Both. You know, ultimately, so much of that falls on the city. And I think the biggest surprise for me in moving to the county has just been the breadth of services that the county provides that I wasn't familiar with in the city. So the city had to do a really enormous and concentrated effort in a lot of areas. And then the county just has so many departments and staff and statutory responsibilities. I knew about that, but really living it and talking to all the staff about their jobs firsthand and looking at the budget, being responsible for that this first time around has been an eye-opener.
Yeah, I would think having electeds as well in the mix.
Yes, so many elected people.
Yeah, yeah, Billy yeah. and Stacy and, you know, and Cheryl and a bunch of them that are, you know, you throw the money at, you give them the funding. Uh-huh. And then you back off.
Right.
I mean, that's, I would think that there's some freedom with that also. You know, so you're not having to worry about a police department. That's somebody else's. So that's off the table for you.
That's a great point. Yeah. It's interesting to think about, you know, having less control over the, you know, the city of Eureka is really, the five council members are ultimately at the top of a pyramid, and everyone else, you know, works for someone that works for the council, ultimately.
Yeah, you got one employee.
Three. The city attorney and the city clerk as well. But yes, primarily.
I'm seeing in your model there. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And so, you know, it's really top down. And the county, you're right, there are a lot of different, it's like more like a mountain range. There are a lot of different peaks, a lot of different people at the top. And so we have to figure out, you know, working effectively together, but the budget is one place where we all come together.
When you consider what you, your first 6 months, what you're looking at, how knowledgeable do you want to be in some of the departments?
I want to be very knowledgeable. So I've been going and touring all of them and spending time in depth and setting up repeat meetings with department heads. And I've also reached out to unions to ask to hear from their members about, you know, any members that are in county employment, to hear about their needs and concerns. So I'm getting it from all angles. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I'm sure, came in as a total stunner for you.
I know. Compensation is always a major factor, and I get that.
Yeah. So how will you avoid micromanaging?
Oof.
To me, and again, it's outside looking in and very simplistic. And yeah, if the department's functioning properly, you stay out of the way.
Agreed.
If it's not, if it's unappointed, you talk to the head honcho.
Sure.
And that's about as far as I would want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, other than, hi, how you doing? I mean, you want to know people as people. But
sure.
But as far as getting involved in the intricacies, you know, how the assessor does his job?
Yeah.
Okay, give me the 25,000-foot level. Oh, okay, you go out, you look, and you do comparatives. Thank you very much. And that's about as deep as I want to go, because those guys are the experts.
Absolutely.
And there's no way I could ever be an expert in these areas. Yeah. Many say, I prove that every day.
Yeah.
So how do you avoid not having enough information, not having too much information either?
I have to say, as a council member, I'm proud that I didn't meddle in staff projects too much. I really do believe in the, you know, setting the strategic objectives and then letting the subject matter experts carry them out, and giving them a little bit of autonomy and trust to do the work well. I think that's an element of good leadership. So I do want to exemplify that. I appreciate the opportunity to weigh in on the policies and the big picture items and to set those priorities for the organization. But I love to let people do what they do well and then celebrate them. So plan to do that.
Yeah, enjoy the process.
Yeah.
If it's being done properly. Now, everybody, when they run, has the things that they want to take care of. What's your number one?
I mean, housing. Those are my one, two, and three.
Through general plan adjustments? I mean, because obviously the county isn't going to be building anything.
Sure.
Or shouldn't be building anything.
Sure.
When you address that, it's probably defined a little bit differently than what developers would. So I guess I was waiting for the flying duck. It didn't happen. We run out of time. Dang, now you got a chance to think. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back with the thoughtful Natalie Royal. So that before the break, we had, or I had postulated, you know, the pecking list, the top five or six things. You had said housing was number one for you.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you see the role of a supervisor to help facilitate or to pull some of the hurdles out of the way to allow housing to occur?
Well, I do think, you know, ultimately a lot of it has to do with planning. You mentioned before the break the general plan. So that's, you know, one consideration is, you know, the land use element of that. And another, honestly, is I think we're seeing more and more government agencies actually partner to apply for grant funding to actually implement the housing. So certainly the city of Eureka was doing a lot of that. The county's doing some of that, you know, right on 4th Street with the expansion going on really close to the courthouse of that hotel that is now converted into housing. And that's
is that the one that St. Joseph's is involved with?
It's a partnership with them, yes.
Yeah.
But the county's involved as well. So I think there's more collaborative efforts like that that we could pursue.
You use the C word in front of me?
Collaborative?
You mean
I know.
A partnership?
A partnership.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. So I think that, you know, we'll see more opportunity for that. We have a facilities master plan that the county has undertaken. And I think at our upcoming strategic planning as a board, we'll have a chance to look at that a little bit more. And, you know, I think when we talk about improving county facilities, we can also look at what land we own and where there are opportunities for mixed use, potentially.
Well, you got all the jargon down.
The what?
Jargon.
Oh.
Mixed use.
Yeah. Well, I had 8 years of experience.
Yeah, I know. You got to purge that stuff and get normal again. Gee.
Just talk like a normal person.
Yeah.
That's what some of my friends say.
Regular guy stuff, yeah. One of the axioms, you know, too often we'll use four-syllable words.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where three is possible, two is better, and one really has clarity.
Sure.
But
in the case of mixed use.
Yeah, there you go. Sure, that works.
In the case of mixed use, I'm trying to think of how to make it simpler. I would imagine that I'd have to use more words, but essentially,
many,
you know,
things?
Yeah, it could be both, you know, commercial. And, you know, when we talk about that in the private sector, we're talking about, like, commercial downstairs, residential upstairs.
See, you did it.
That makes it easy, right?
Yeah. Well, two-syllable words, but you got it. Yeah. Well, I think that that's more challenging than what a lot of people really understand. Because
sure.
If you start doing that, you change that community, that character of the community, whatever it might happen to be.
Yeah.
Couple decades, not years ago, it was artist live workspace upstairs in Old Town. Parking became an issue, and then it just kind of lost its funding with some of the stuff at the state level. Okay, great, that would have changed Old Town, good, better, and different. Who knows? But it would have changed. And I think sometimes some of these adjustments to general plans that doesn't into consideration. The focus, housing, okay, housing. Mm-hmm. And they don't look at, okay, what does that do to that neighborhood? You know, if it's restaurant area, okay, does that improve it or does that really tear it apart?
Sure.
and you can argue both sides. And I think one of the suggestions I would have for you, yeah, right, involve the business community in the decisions.
Sure. Yeah.
If it's in a business district.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about mixed use.
Uh-huh.
I can use it. I just don't like it.
Yeah. We'll make a planner out of you yet.
Well, yeah, no, you won't. What does that mean? What do they feel? Are they involved and engaged with that? Or is that something that they really don't want?
Sure.
And it's easy in a commercial area, but let's pick a Henderson Center.
Yeah.
Where there really is very limited upstairs now, but if that was the big push, what does that do to that community,
mm-hmm.
that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Or
it's a fair question.
Take Fieldbrook or McKinleyville, I know is going to be a big focus for the next Hydesville, wherever that the county is, Garberville, how to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Without fundamentally changing that neighborhood.
I think a lot of folks who I've talked to about this, and it does depend where it is, but whether it's Old Town or, downtown Garberville or, along F Street where there's that little market, the Handy Market. When we talk about those spaces that are currently serving some commercial function, whether it's retail or office space or some other kind of business function, a lot of folks have been really receptive to the idea of having that downstairs housing upstairs, because part of it is that sense of having more people around in that space, providing eyes and ears kind of at all hours, that makes people who live nearby or work nearby feel like it might improve safety. And so I think that's a really interesting aspect of it that we don't talk about a lot.
Now, I've been to New York City once.
Mm-hmm.
No, twice. Once to see Limbaugh, once to go to Yankee Stadium. That's
okay.
In 60 years, twice.
I go there for the food, but, we all do what we got to do.
That's where I was going with this. It's like the old ethnic neighborhoods that we have nostalgic thoughts of. I mean, they may be real. That's why I kind of prefaced it that way.
Sure.
There are pluses and minuses with that. And I think a lot of times the focus is on only one side. And whether you're in favor of it or whether you're in opposition to it, doesn't matter.
Sure.
Everybody locks on that one instead of saying, okay, here's the pluses and here's the minuses.
Sure.
And really have an informed decision.
Yeah.
Rather than locking in and then trying to argue it to the hilt.
Well, thankfully, in the city of Eureka, for our general plan update, we had, months and months and months of public outreach that did tell us, and surveying that did tell us that was in line with what people wanted for certain neighborhoods. So that was good to kind of match up the plan with what people said they wanted. And, I think we've seen the county general plan. I don't know how long that took, but people certainly got a lot of chance to weigh in.
I want to bet, and it was supposed to be updated every 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it wouldn't be updated within 28 years.
Hmm.
Fortunately, everybody I made the wager with is now either no longer a supervisor or no longer alive. Tough to collect.
Hard to collect on that bet.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you guys got to be looking at the general plan update pretty soon, I would think, because I wasn't Ryan in the fifth at that time. So it's been 10 or 12 years.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
I mean, it's got the preliminary stuff. And I think that was the takeaway that a lot of us had was how long this thing really takes.
Yeah.
It's not a 6 month or a 1 year process. It's something far more significant, particularly if you're looking at communities with change. Like Eureka has had a significant amount of change.
Yeah. My district's changing a lot right now, too. I mean, there is a lot planned development-wise in the 4th District.
Thankfully, we're going to actually have we're going to hear hammers and saws and even more than what we have going on right now. So we'll talk about what the change looks like and what the county involvement should or should not be. When we come back, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor. Since 1971.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo, newly minted supervisor. So as you look at where the county is. Mm-hmm. You've got your pecking order. You know, everybody does going.
Sure.
On. How are you going to look at change and incorporate that into your priorities? Are you able to do that kind of just naturally, flexibility, or do you kind of have, okay, let me do these first, let me help out on these first two or three things, mm-hmm. and then we'll see where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Which side of that argument are you coming on?
Yeah, I certainly don't want to come in as a new person and blow everything that's already happening out of the water. I think that's disrespectful. And, you know, so I'm trying to come into things and learn, but I also just had to jump right into making decisions. So there's certain things that probably, you know, could have gone a different way under a different board. And, you know, I'm able to have my own impact on those issues. You know, I'm 1/5 of the board, but
or maybe your decision would change in a year and a half.
Sure.
Just with experience.
Yeah. With experience, things will definitely change. You know, I know that the county is coming out of the impacts of COVID, impacts of staffing shortages, impacts of budgetary circumstances that were less than ideal. And, you know.
That's almost our tradition, though. That's 20 years. I mean, for a period there, I think it was when Bruce Rupp was there and then Chris Arnold and, you know, subsequent CAOs, probably up through Loretta, cut back. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Not to have to cut was a good year.
Right.
Now that there was a little bit of surplus, holy cow, and then unfortunately a lot of stuff was predicated on the marijuana industry, and that's now cratering. So
sure.
Things
so we're
are
gonna,
a little bit different, and back to the change thing.
So we're going to have to be, I think, fiscally somewhat conservative in the coming, you know, couple of years. And so I want to really get my feet under me and make sure that, you know, before I propose any sweeping changes, I want to make sure that we're in good shape as a county, that we're able to do our basic functions of governance. And that was something that I campaigned on as well. You know, I think a lot of people perhaps expected that I would come in and try to make some sweeping changes. But I also campaigned on focusing on good governance.
Maybe we'll give you a broom.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to sweep something, okay, there you go. But
right.
I mean, I think it's unrealistic for people to expect that.
Right. But we're already starting to see little shifts. You know, there are
the sweeping change thing.
Right.
I mean,
right.
To me, that's big stuff.
Right.
Not fine tuning stuff.
Right. I also really want to have a constructive relationship with our staff and be able to make decisions where I compromise with my peers on the dais. So, you know, when it comes to making county decisions where I can give a little, I certainly want to show that I will do that. And I think that's what you've been seeing, you know, so far when it comes to county BOS meetings.
Oh, not BS meetings.
Not BS meetings.
Yeah, silent O in that one.
I'm gonna remember that.
You gotta use that one? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
I like it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's gonna be pretty easy for people to trace this one. But that's all right. You know,
shucks. Yeah. Should have happened on the break.
No, well, what do I care? You want to claim it, go for it. Oh, well, welcome to the team, huh?
Thank you very much. All I appreciate right. it.
Have fun. See you in a month or so.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
See everybody else tomorrow.